As I'm gone over the month of July and early August, we have a few guest preachers who are coming, and I'm grateful that today we have Will Dyer coming. He's been the pastor at a few Methodist churches and now leads First Baptist Augusta, Georgia. We've bonded not only over golf, but our love of Jesus, and I'm so grateful he gets to bring the word today.
Well, good morning, everyone. As Arthur said, my name is Will Dyer, and I'm the pastor at the First Baptist Church in Augusta, Georgia, although I have been a United Methodist pastor. So, guys, it was a delight to get to say the Apostles' Creed this morning, y'all. How much fun have I had? Before I jump into our sermon, I just want to say how honored and how thrilled I am to be invited into this incredible church. And guys, you know this already, but you have one of the most amazing leadership teams that I have ever encountered, with Arthur leading this church and the entire pastoral staff. You are blessed, so please encourage them. Yeah, you're an incredible church. So today we are reading from Psalm 23, and so I want to invite you to take your Bibles and turn right in the middle of your Bible to these incredible, famous words of David, Psalm 23, and I will read this word of God to us here today. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his namesake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I mentioned I am from Augusta, Georgia, and Augusta is primarily known for one thing. What is it? The Masters Tournament, right? And so, guys, I love that about Augusta, but there is something else that Augusta has recently become known for, and it's a report that came out of Barno, a Christian research group, last year, that we in Augusta, Georgia, are one of the top five most churched cities in the United States of America, that as you drive around Augusta, you will encounter no shortage of churches, whether they are large or small, Methodist, Baptist, Catholic, non-denominational, and anywhere in between. We are one of the most churched places in America. And yet, what I will tell you is that over the course of my 9.5 years as the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Augusta, is that there is a qualitative difference between being churched and being a dedicated follower of Jesus, y'all. There's a big difference between those two. And one of the ways that you can tell the distinction is biblical literacy. I have been amazed, you all, that even in a church city like Augusta, we are increasingly a biblically illiterate people. We just don't know the basic stories of our faith. I was preaching just a few weeks ago, and I was talking about the Apostle Paul, someone that we all should know who he is. And yet, standing at the door after the service, I had multiple people come to me and say, "Will, I've never heard of Paul before." How crazy is that, you guys? We live in a biblically illiterate culture, and yet what I will tell you is that there are certain passages in the Bible that we all know. They are ingrained deeply into our cultural DNA, right? John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." That's one. And what I would suggest to us this morning is that another is Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd," and in that King James Version, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I love what the NIV actually says, "I will lack nothing." It's one of those passages that is deeply ingrained in our consciousness. And so what I want to talk about for just a few minutes is why. Why is that the case? And the fact of the matter is that most of us are familiar with Psalm 23 because it is spoken at every single funeral, isn't it? I did 42 funerals last year as the pastor at First Baptist Church, and I went back and looked at 36 of those funerals. We spoke this Psalm 23. Y'all, it is a word of hope to us in our times of darkness, that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's a beautiful thing to speak to families that are grieving. But what I want to do this morning is to remind us of something incredibly important, something that is really central to us understanding what Psalm 23 is about. Because if we only hear it in the context of funerals, we will miss the power. If we only hear it in the context of grief, we will miss the central crux of what David is trying to teach us. Because it isn't just about death. In fact, it isn't primarily about death at all. It is about God who leads us beside the still waters, who leads us in green pastures, who ultimately leads us to the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23, friends, isn't about death, but Psalm 23 is about life. It is about our journey through life where we encounter God in every step along the way. When I read Psalm 23, I cannot help but think about those famous words from the great pastor and theologian Eugene Peterson, who so appropriately described the Christian life as what? A long obedience in the same direction. That's what Psalm 23 is. It's not a linear journey, but it is a journey throughout life where we are invited to trust that God is with us every step of the way. Now, what I want us to know this morning, friends, is that while Psalm 23 is one of those that is ingrained in the cultural DNA that we all inhabit, I also want you to know that, in fact, it is one of the most countercultural psalms that you could ever imagine. Well, what are you talking about? Why? How is that the case? Well, what I would tell you is that we currently in the United States of America in 2026, friends, we live in one of the most individualistic cultures that the world has ever known. That you are invited to be the captain of your own ship. You are invited to find your own way throughout the world. That you are responsible to no one but yourself. Well, how could you say that? Well, I will tell you how I can say that. Because I have been watching quite a few movies this summer with my children. You know, I love the summertime because I've got three girls. I've got a teenager. She turned 13 on Thursday of this week, so y'all pray for me, please. I've got a 13-year-old, I've got an 11-year-old, and I've got an 8-year-old, three girls. And my wife, Sarah, and I love to watch movies this summer with our kids. And one of the movies that we watched last week was The Sandlot. Has anybody watched The Sandlot, y'all? Anybody? Okay, great movie, great baseball movie. And there's this moment in The Sandlot when Benny the Jet Rodriguez has decided that he has to go pickle the beast. If you've not watched the movie, just go home and watch it this afternoon, y'all. And the ghost of Babe Ruth comes to the central character, Benny the Jet Rodriguez, to encourage him, to inspire him as he is ready to go and achieve his task. And there's this moment in The Sandlot when Babe Ruth looks at our protagonist and he says to him, Benny, remember, follow your heart and you'll never go wrong. Follow your heart, Benny, and you can never go wrong because heroes get remembered, but legends never die. Follow your heart. It is the word that is spoken to our culture over and over and over again. Tomorrow, we're going to take our girls and we are going to go see the live action Moana movie. I am so excited about this, y'all. Because if I needed a live action one, I probably wouldn't have watched the original 47 times with my kids. And again, there's this moment when Moana, the primary character, is talking to her grandmother because she's feeling the urge to go out and explore. And Moana's grandmother, in this beautiful line, says, Moana, follow your heart and you can't go wrong. Again, y'all, we live in a day and an age where we are taught to do your own thing, to follow your own heart. And what I want us to understand today is that what Psalm 23 is teaching us is one of the most countercultural things we could ever imagine. Because rather than following our own heart, which by the way, Jesus says will lead us astray again and again and again, what Psalm 23 says is follow the good shepherd. Don't trust in your own intuition, but trust there is a God who is better and bigger and more beautiful than you could ever imagine. And if you follow your own heart, the Proverbs say it will lead to destruction. But Psalm 23 says, follow the good shepherd, because he will lead you beside the still waters, and he will restore your soul. You guys, that's the one thing that I want you to take away from this morning. The one thing that we so often overlook when we come to sections of Scripture like this, that when we approach the throne of the Almighty God, the one who is the Good Shepherd, what do we find? But one who is gracious and one who is kind, one who sends goodness and love to pursue us all the days of our lives. Friends, some of us are here this morning, and what you need to hear is that God is good, that God is with you, and God is for you, that he is leading you into a future that is better than anything you could ever ask or imagine. I don't know about here in Plano, Texas, but back in Augusta, Georgia, in one of the fifth most churched cities in America, what you will find is churches that will gather on a Sunday morning and proclaim a God who is angry and who is vengeful. A God who is continually disappointed in people and who is looking to throw cosmic lightning bolts and strike them down. This God is more like Zeus or an angry tyrant than the God we find in Psalm 23. And if you grew up in a setting like that, what I want you to know is that God is for you, that God loves you. Some of us are here, and the only thing you need to hear this morning is that God loves you. He is the good shepherd, and that is why we can follow him. That is why we can trust that he is, in fact, worth going behind. I love this psalm, and I love that you're doing this series, the Psalms of the Summer, where you're looking at the prayer book that Jesus would have prayed. You guys, it should not be lost on us that Jesus would have prayed this prayer, Psalm 23, regularly. It would have been part of the consciousness that he inhabited, and every day he would have thought about how good God is. And in fact, Jesus is going to go one step further. Not only does he pray that prayer, but he begins to live a life that embodies that goodness of God. And if you go into the Gospel of John, one of the four accounts of Jesus' life, there's this moment in John chapter 10. When Jesus, looking to his disciples, understanding the goodness of the shepherd, what does he say? But I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Those first two words echoing the very name of God found all the way back in the book of Exodus. I am who I am, God says to Moses. And now Jesus makes the claim that he is the good shepherd. He is not just a rabbi from Nazareth. In fact, he's not just the one who will go to the cross and die for our sins, but Jesus is the good shepherd who invites those of us who are weary and heavy laden, those of us who are tired, to walk alongside him so that we might rest in the green pastures, so that we might find peace in our lives. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. And if God is good, so am I. And he invites each and every one of us to hear this psalm and claim it as our own. It's a beautiful rhythm, isn't it? From green pastures to the house of the Lord. But I have to tell you this morning, that green pastures to the house of the Lord seems like a linear path, but it couldn't be any further from the truth. Remember what Peterson said, a long obedience in the same direction, and there are twists and there are turns along the way. And Jesus says, I will walk alongside you. I will shepherd you, because he is the good shepherd. And I want you to remember, y'all, green pastures to the house of the Lord, but along the journey, what do we find? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me. Pay attention. Pay attention to what Psalm 23 says. It doesn't say, if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, does it? What does it say? It says, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't need to fear any evil because God, you are with me. And some of us are here this morning and we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Some of us are here this morning and maybe you have a relationship that is torn apart and you don't know how you can find reconciliation. Maybe some of us are here this morning and you have received a diagnosis or someone you love has and you wonder, God, where are you? And what I need you to hear this morning is that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, says, I'm walking right alongside you. While you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Jesus says, don't be afraid because I am with you. Those last words he says to the disciples, I will be with you always until the very end of the age. Friends, what we know and what the world needs is that Jesus is with us. That Jesus, I love the song we sang, Jesus loves us. And understanding that, our lives begin to be different. Being a follower of Jesus doesn't mean it's all sunshine and rainbows. Being a follower of Jesus does not mean that you will live your best life now and everything will be perfect. But what it does mean is that God is guiding our paths. God is leading us to the future, and we are invited to trust that even when our circumstances don't feel that way, that God is good. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I need not fear any evil. And Jesus knew those words. He knew those words, friends, more deeply than you and I could ever imagine. Do you know why? Because he walked through the darkest valley. He walked through the darkest imaginable place when he went to the cross for me and for you. And he can boldly proclaim that we need not fear any evil because he took it on when he went to the cross. That he took on sin and death and the devil himself, so Luther says, so that we might be freed. So that we might live unafraid and encouraged by the Spirit of God. The Lord is my shepherd, and I lack nothing. And from green pastures to the still waters, even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he is with us. And on this day, we are all invited to trust that news. We are invited to trust that through the valleys and through the apexes of life, God is still good. And that one day, in the fullness of time, we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That one day, when all is made right, we will be with Jesus. And that, friends, is good news. Psalm 23 is one of the most beautiful countercultural proclamations that you could ever imagine spoken. And on this day, we are all invited to trust that the Lord is your shepherd. And he is leading you into a life that is better than anything you could ever ask or imagine. The Lord is our shepherd. And I don't know about you, but for that, I give thanks to God. Amen? Amen. So friends, join me now, and let's take a moment and pray together. God, you are good. When all else fails, God, we want to trust that you are good. And so right now, I want to pray for my brothers and sisters who are here in the room. I pray for those who are watching online because, God, so many of us, we are walking through that valley of the shadow of death. So, God, may we experience your grace. May we experience your presence. God, may you move among us right now. God, all of us live in a culture where we are taught to chart our own path. We are taught to go our own way. But Lord Jesus tells us that that way will lead to destruction. So may we hear on this morning, God, that the Good Shepherd is leading. That the Good Shepherd is guiding us. So may we trust in this way. May we trust in his love and in his grace. And Lord, some of us are here this morning and we need to hear the word that we need not fear any evil because Jesus has conquered it. Because Jesus is over it. God, we love you. Most of all, we are thankful for Jesus. So may we follow him well. God, continue to be with us as we worship and celebrate our crucified and resurrected Lord and Savior. This is our prayer, and we ask it in his name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, everybody.